The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Live from Northern California, it's Lifeline with Craig Roberts. He's the host of Northern California's longest-running conservative talk show. He's a man with a message, a conservative with compassion. He's Lifeline's own Craig Roberts.
Well, can you believe it's already past 5 o'clock, and it's on a Thursday? And if it's past 5 o'clock on a Thursday, that must mean it's time for that character to be back on the radio again. And yes, indeed, here we are for another edition of Lifeline. And hey, thank you so much for the opportunity to spend the time with you. We always count it a great privilege and hope that our time together, traveling or whatever you might be doing while listening to the show, is meaningful for you. Hopefully, we in some ways lighten the burden, in other ways turn on the light, and hopefully you walk away with some good, useful information that can be life-affirming and life-impacting. And we're going to set out to have that very same goal in today's program. I might begin with a bit of a cautionary tale, and that is to say that we're going to have one of those frank discussions. And when I mention the name of my guest, you'll know why. And so if you got young ears around the room, you might want to busy them somewhere else, because we're going to have some conversations that, quite frankly, need to be had. And for some of you, eavesdropping today might be well overdue. I want to begin with a big news story that will lead into our guest tonight in the first hour. You've been hearing on the news all of the flack about TikTok and the notion that Congress, at least in the House, voting to essentially either ban it or say it's got to be sold to a U.S.-based concern. We have grave worries about the political implications of TikTok and how it may influence the election, yada, yada. You've heard it all. Well, I get me to thinking, you know, we talk about TikTok, the impact of social media, and how it's touched all of our lives, either directly because we use it or we're consumed by it or we're addicted to it or because we've been influenced by it or others from afar. I thought, well, I wonder if you talk about the TikTok audience, in spite of the hue and cry that this will ruin businesses across the nation, what does the demographic look like? Well, out of curiosity, the internet provided that answer. 25%, quarter of the audience is between the age of 10 and 19 years old, so preteens and teens. Fully half of the audience, 48%, is under the age of 30, and barely 11% would fit into the 50-plus category. I tell you what does emerge when you look at the profile regarding TikTok. It's not just those that view it, but the content that's being viewed. And while many say it's sort of the kingdom of the short minute or so video, it also seems to be a growing popular site for what we'll call, at least the very minimum description, suggestive, if not outright, softcore pornography. Our friends at the Wall Street Journal did an investigation recently where they set up a number of fake accounts, and then they used another fake account to post outright pornographic content on TikTok. And contrary to all of the guarantees that there's policing going on, the algorithm knows the difference, and you can't fool me, et cetera, well, apparently that didn't stand true for the Wall Street Journal. Out of 1,000 videos that they posted that had questionable to outright banned content based on the rules of engagement on TikTok, only 255 got caught and removed. That means three-quarters of all the content that otherwise would not be appropriate for young children was right there in front of everybody to see. Well, TikTok, of course, is just scratching the surface of what's happened in our nation insofar as the impact of things like the internet, social media, where a day and an age, for those of us that are in the baby boomer generation, might recall that to gain access to that kind of content meant you went to the seedy part of town, you went to the far end, past all the dive bars, and you found a dark spot and that's where you could get access to it. Today, sadly, you can go online and search for an apple pie recipe and be hit in the face with suggestive, if not outright, pornographic content. In fact, it happened to me just the other day, looking for something here at work, and all of a sudden, whoa, how did that show up on the screen that got through our highly sophisticated filters? Well, if it isn't just for those that get served content that they don't want, imagine those that are out there looking for it. What happens, what it means, and the impact, the devastation. You might be somebody who resolved at the beginning of the year that you were going to deal with this habit of yours, the consumption or viewing of TikTok or other social media or other content out there that is suggestive in nature, downright pornographic. I got to wonder, as we are here almost a quarter of the way into the new year, how you doing with that resolution so far? My guess is probably not so well. Let's dive deeper. Pastor Clay Allen with us today in studio, founder and president of Avenue, a sexual restoration ministry. And Clay, it's always a privilege to have you with us. Thanks so much.
Well, you're welcome, Craig. It's a joy to be here with you.
Always frank conversation, sometimes painful conversations, but necessary conversations in dealing with a topic that, quite frankly, has a potentiality of impacting all of our lives. Whether or not you are a direct, intentional consumer of pornography in all its forms and fashions, you may not be, but you might have a spouse is, or a child is, or somebody else within your realm that one way or another is having their life, their soul, slowly eaten away by this habit. And not only can it destroy their life, their marriage, but there can really be domino effects throughout the totality of society. And we're seeing that today, aren't we?
We sure are. It's I want to say, too, as devastating as it is, and it is, there's always hope here. And the hope is absolutely amazing because the numbers, if you look at the stats, they're completely overwhelming. Nearly 80% of Christian men who go to church, men who call themselves followers of Jesus, are actively looking at pornography. And the poor pastor is wondering, how in the world am I going to achieve my mission and vision for this church with 80% of his men caught up in wrong things sexually? And most of those men are married or have significant others. Certainly some have, most have children. So this does start to impact many, many people. Pastors are in the tractor beam as well. Senior pastors have about 57% actively or having struggled recently with it. 64% of youth pastors in that category as well. 85% of 15 to 17-year-olds, we'll call them around 16 years old, 85% of young men are actively looking at pornography, and much worse online. And what's incredible is when you interview these guys, 90% of them say, it's actually 87%, but it's close to 90%, say they have no one to turn for help. And I think a large reason is because only 7% of churches in America are actively addressing this issue. So that means 93% aren't. And this is what God wants to change. And he wants to change it in a beautiful, hopeful way. And I'm very eager to share some things today with men in particular, and for wives or girlfriends or fiancés who have a significant other who are caught up in this, or perhaps you yourself are caught up in this. There's something very, very important I want to share with you, and I'm not sure that I've ever shared this with people before, but if you're caught up in this, I want you to know something, and it's so important. It might be the most important thing you hear all this year. This is not your fault. It may not be your fault, let me put it that way, that you're behaving this way. I shared this with a group of men recently, and so many of them came up to me afterwards and said, nobody's ever said this to me. Tell me what you mean.
Yeah, qualify that, please, because there are men that have struggled with this that are thinking, wait a minute, you know, but I'm the guy who's turning the computer on. You know what? Part of it is shameful and disgusting and revolting, but there's a part of me that likes it.
Yeah.
Or others that would say, how can you possibly say it's not my fault when I am the one who chose this behavior?
Yeah.
Explain yourself.
Yeah, well, it's a great question. The reason I say this is because of its origin. Certainly when somebody's involved in the behavior and they're actively involved, yes, they participate in it. But I want to go back to where it started. And this is what's not their fault. And it's very, very important for a person to understand this if they ever have a hope of getting out of it. The behavior is not their fault, because what may have happened to them when they were especially young was some form of abuse or abandonment. And they may not even be aware of this. I wasn't in my life. I wasn't aware of the abuse, at least certainly where it started. And in that process of being abused or abandoned, and it's not necessarily somebody leaves. It could be relationally or spiritually or mentally abandoned. What happens is it's a gigantic spiritual problem, because what happens is doors are open, spiritually speaking, to demonic spirits that enter into that young person's life.
So a seed, in a sense, gets planted.
Yes.
And, it, you know, let's be clear, or perhaps you can clarify. Some people hear that and say, well, are you talking then strictly about abuse, a child that was sexually abused at some point? Or could it be something simple as a child that feels detached from a parent, discovers pornography because dad's magazines are hidden underneath the bed, and because it can often provide that sense of false intimacy, almost false comfort in a sense. You know, for every true spirit, the enemy comes along as a false spirit, yeah, masquerading, right?
Absolutely.
So is that, when you talk about it not being your fault, and I bring up the notion of a seed being planted at some point, it's not just outright abuse. It can be these other forms of deficiencies,
that's right,
spiritually and relationally as a young child, where the seed gets planted. And before you know it, it's the beanstalk reaching to the sky.
That's right. And the most important thing here for a young person, or for any person, as they think back to how when they were young, is that they had no control or choice over this experience. And I can give you some examples of this. A generational sin is probably the most obvious. They had no choice of how they were born, or where they were born, what family they were born into, or what their ancestors did. But this is known in the Bible to be passed on to the third and fourth generation. You can have physical, emotional, or relational, or perhaps even spiritual abuse when they were small. Another one that's hidden often are vows that are spoken over a person, or to a person, or about a person. And what this does is it opens up these doors to spiritual forces that are at the root of the person's destructive behavior later in life, that they try desperately to overcome and they can't.
So what you're suggesting here, then I'll have you answer this question, then we'll go to break and go a little bit deeper. It sounds like what you're suggesting by that phraseology is that this is not simply behavioral in the sense of a habit. This is not simply because it appeals to the eye. This is not simply something that may be psychological in nature, but at the core, spiritual in nature. And if that be the case, does it give some listening right now that have said, wait a minute, Clay, wait a minute, Craig, I've gone to counseling, my wife and I, my spouse and I have gone to marriage counseling, it don't work. I've read the books, the self-help books, it don't work. I've tried the, you know, form a new habit in 30 days approach, it doesn't work. Is maybe the reason why a lot of these methodologies have not worked is because they failed to address what I think you're suggesting is the real genesis, the real core issue here, and that is a battle that is spiritual in nature?
Absolutely. You hit the nail on the head.
And I think you hit the nail on the head.
Well, so this is why it's so frustrating to so many people. And I'm not saying counseling's wrong or therapy. There's certainly places for that. But we get so many men and women who come to us and say, you know, we've been in counseling for 15 years and nothing's changed. I talked to a man just yesterday and he says, I've been to 5 therapists and none of them have helped me. And you're the only one who have asked me certain questions that I've never been asked before. And he's been counseled by 5 pastors in addition to 5 therapists. And these weren't complicated questions, but they get to the core of the spiritual problem, because this at its core is a spiritual problem. It's not a mental problem. It's not a philosophical problem. It's not a problem that can be solved with self-help. It's a problem that must be addressed from a spiritual point of view.
And if they never get to that core and they try all these other exercises and they have repeated failure after failure after failure, no wonder it is that somebody give up. That out of, even in spite of the guilt and shame, that it's indulging in something that you feel as if, well, it just it's a deficiency or defectiveness that is inherent to my nature that simply cannot be overcome.
You're absolutely right. And you just described the cycle of shame, where the devil wants to heap shame on a person. I'm no good. I'm defective. I don't measure up. The person certainly doesn't know who he is in Christ or who Christ is in him. Total confusion, total shame, total degradation. So he stays silent. And as he's silent, he keeps secrets. Those secrets lead to more shame. More of the same game, and it's over and over to the point where it gets extraordinarily tiring.
And people give up.
They do give up. And the hope is there's a way out of this. It is not complicated. It's provided for us. We help guys and gals every single day with this. And it's my joy to devote my life to it because I see the people who come out of it. And I'd love to share more with you about how to do that.
We're going
to
do that around the corner, and we're going to learn how a lot of the annual resolutions that we all make on along about December 31st have kind of fallen apart, in some cases before we've barely even welcomed in the new day of January 1st. Pastor Clay Allen with us today in studio, founder and president of Avenue, a sexual restoration ministry, and information available on the web at avenue.works. Think of .com, .net. This is .works, avenue.works, or toll free at 877-326-7000. A timeout, back to more of our conversation as Lifeline continues.
And now back to Lifeline with Craig Roberts.
Back to the conversation. Pastor Clay Allen, founder and president of Avenue, a sexual restoration ministry based right here in the San Francisco Bay Area. We are having the difficult, uncomfortable conversation regarding the impact of pornography in all of its forms. And we heard just before the break, Pastor Allen say something that undoubtedly set you back on your heels, as he did with me when he mentioned it before we came on the air today. And that is the notion that in not all cases, but frequently, and is it fair to say in the majority of cases, that the genesis of the habit is not their fault?
I would say yes. And the reason is because something that happened early in their life, they probably don't even know what it is, or they may think of it in terms of being something not what it actually is, which is a spiritual door, if you wish, being opened to a demonic force. It could be generational. It could be passed on to them. It could be something physically done to them, emotionally, relationally, where they've been harmed in some way. It could be sexual abuse, certainly. It could be the introduction to pornography. It could be vows spoken over them or to them or about them, where these spirits are entered into them. And they didn't have a choice in it. It's not their fault. They didn't invite it. They certainly didn't want it if they knew that they had a choice. But they have no control over it either when they're that young. And so these spirits often come into a young person, and they dwell there. And later in life, they become habits. And that person then tries to overcome these habits in a number of different ways, most all of which fail.
Now, you realize, of course, you're talking about something that is pretty dark.
It is.
In nature. I mean, this is contrasting with somebody who's got the habit of biting their nails. Okay, you've gotten involved in a habit. Take 30 days and try to break that habit. You're suggesting here that this is, that the behavior is emblematic, symptomatic of what's going on in the spiritual realm?
100%.
Wow.
And there's the Bible's replete with stories along these lines of when this happens, how it manifests in a person's life. But the hope I want to give people in the audience listening, and wherever they may be, whatever they do, I want you to know that God loves you so desperately much that he provides you a way out of this. You know, that's why we named our ministry Avenue, a way out. And it's, I would say it's a way out of this hellish lifestyle, too. It's, we want to be really specific about it because we want to be able to help people know we understand where they're at. And this is the hope that we have that, and I know this works because I've been there. I've lived this. I've had these spirits in me. I learned my father came through our program and he disclosed a bunch of things to me I had no idea about. And so I think God allowed this to happen to show me how to help other people. And so if we follow Jesus and if we seek him with our heart and ask him to heal these areas, God will indeed restore us. But there is a process by which we go about. Jesus is the greatest example of this. And I want to say something else here that's really important, which is when a man or a woman realizes that their behavior or their relationship is destructive, they have an obligation at that point to seek God's help. It's not just a matter of wallowing in it, but rather, if you know that this is hurting yourself or others, you absolutely have an obligation, and God wants you to seek him, and he puts this in your heart to seek him out for help, because he doesn't want to see you hurting yourself. He doesn't want to see you hurting other people. And so that's where we come in, where you, if you want an avenue out, call us. Get on our website, because we can show you how to help in a confidential way this problem in your life being extricated, if you wish. There is a way to deal with this, but it's often not through the typical means of therapy or trying harder or self-help or things of this nature, because it indeed is a spiritual matter.
Let me ask you a question that some no doubt have had cross their mind eavesdropping on this conversation. You say that in vast majority of cases, it is not the individual's fault. How is that therefore not a license to continue to wallow in the behavior, as opposed to a license to heal?
Yeah, because inherently, if you read Romans 1, it says that every single person inherently knows that there is a God and what is right and what is wrong when it comes especially to sexual matters. You inherently know this. It's in your DNA. So when you realize that you are in a destructive pattern, either you're harming yourself, and you might make excuses like, who am I hurting? I'm just hurting myself, and that's okay. Well, no, it's not okay as far as God is concerned. He doesn't want you harming yourself, nor does he want you harming other people. So at the moment you know it's destructive, that's where you have an obligation to do something about it. Don't stay in it, because it's only going to get worse, much worse. And if people think that it's only going to be for themselves, there's all kinds of things that go along with this that are coinciding devastations, if you wish, because this truly is the true pandemic of our time.
And I'm curious, because you and I talked a lot during the height of the pandemic, when there was so much isolation, people stuck at home and spending hours and hours. I mean, not that we don't spend gross amounts of hours in front of the computer now, but even more so back then. And we saw such a major spike in the use of so many of these online pornography sites and so forth. So in relation to the pandemic aspect of this, and certainly these abusive acts and behaviors and so forth are pandemic in nature, but is it also emblematic of deeper issues going on? Again, we touched earlier on things like false intimacy and loneliness and people that feel that sense of separation anxiety from whatever it might be, and suddenly they're looking for some way to make the pain go away. Does this become kind of like self-medicating in a sense?
Oh, absolutely. That's one of the key factors of this, is that because it is so painful in their lives, whatever their stressors are, this is one of the most favorite medications of mankind right now. And it's unfortunate that it is, but it is. And the fallout from it is so devastating relationally, where marriages are destroyed, kids are destroyed, families are destroyed, friends, colleagues. In fact, I would even say that the loss of respect of men by women is probably at the top of the list, and they don't even know it. because women often will say that they have no respect for their husbands because they're involved in this, and yet the man thinks it's a macho thing. But in addition to relational, there's emotional fallout. They absolutely don't have any idea what their self-identity is in Christ or who Christ is in them. And that's a tremendous problem because they have no idea at that point that they have the ability to overcome, that God has given them some tools. In fact, I would even say the power that raised Jesus from the grave is in somebody who's following Jesus and doing this kind of activity. They just haven't tapped into it, and they need somebody to help them tap into it. Somebody who's saved and involved in pornography or in a broken relationship has that power in them. They just don't know how to tap into it.
And the impact of all of this, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, relationally, it is not singular event, but it is compounded, is it not? I mean, it's like banging your head against the concrete wall. I got to imagine after a while, gee, that hurts. And if you think the answer is, well, pop a couple of aspirin or Tylenol and you'll be fine, well, that might be temporarily deal with the symptoms, but it really doesn't make the headache or the problem go away. So is it cumulative in terms of impact?
Absolutely cumulative, and it's progressive. The other things that you just mentioned, I would add to that financial, about 60% of men who are involved in regular habitual pornography, masturbation, illicit affairs, say that they are struggling financially. It's only going to get worse this year and next year. It's going to get very bad this year in a lot of different ways. But God promises to protect us and provide for us if we go His way. Spiritually is probably the biggest fallout of it all, where somebody's trying to align world's values, biblical values, which one's going to take over in my life, even in their church. And this is where you see the destruction of God's designed destiny for a man, for a family, for a church. You know, we've had over 7,000 churches in just one denomination in the United States split off of their denomination over this topic. 7,000 churches. It's the largest church split in the nation's history. And it's all over biblical sexuality. Are you going to follow it, or are you going to follow the world's way? So it's absolutely compounding, and it's devastating.
That leads to an important question that we're going to get to around the break, and that is, okay, from here then, how do we go about identifying where we're at in the inappropriate behavior, and how do we start the steps towards healing and restoration, particularly if so you've tried the counseling in the past, you've gone to the therapist, you've tried going cold turkey, none of that works. How do you go about then changing the behavior? We'll talk about that next. Pastor Clay Allen in studio, founder and president of Avenue, a sexual restoration ministry. More information available on the web, and it is always very private, and your concerns in terms of protecting even your identity are always top of the list. You can go online to avenue.works for more information. That's avenue.works. Or call toll-free 877-326-7000, 877-326-7000, online avenue.works. Back with more of the conversation as Lifeline continues.
And now back to Lifeline with Craig Roberts.
Pastor Clay Allen's giving me a heads up because Craig had a revelation. I do get one every now and then. You know, talking about the spiritual dynamic of this. And this, I think, goes to the heart of the question I wanted to pose, Clay, in relationship to how one begins the healing process. And that is the notion that you've tried everything. You've tried changing your behavior. You've tried looking another way. You've tried psychology. You've tried therapy. And none of it works. It maybe is a temporary relief or distraction, but in terms of real, tangible, permanent, measurable solutions, simply not there. And it's interesting when you talk about all of this as having at the core a spiritual dynamic to it. I mentioned during the break the image of Adam and Eve in the garden. And the very first rule, the only rule that was there to be broken, ironically enough, of eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the minute that law was broken, What does Scripture tell us? That they realized their nakedness and they were ashamed and they ran to cover up. That the tie-in to the sense of that guilt and shame and the breaking of God's law manifested itself in a, in today's vernacular, in a sexual way. And that sense of guilt and shame and the tie-in to brokenness and the violation of God's laws. I mean, this is a thread that runs right down through the center of humankind since day one, doesn't it?
It does. And the pattern has never changed since that moment to right now. And the pattern's real simple. The evil one, Satan, starts out with deception. You know, he wants to separate you from God. The second part is seduction. He wants to replace God with something else, usually something sexual. And the third is that your destruction. And it's not just your destruction. He wants to destroy everything you influence, your family, your friends, your influence with others, your finance, and so forth. So it is, and it's unfortunate, but when you understand the devil's game plan, it becomes much easier to recognize it and to know what to do.
We've been battling flesh and blood here, which we thought on the surface seemed to be logical, but in reality, we're really in spiritual warfare with powers and principalities in high places that have really taken so many people captive that logically now the reason why so many can't break from this behavior is because they're truly in bondage, spiritual bondage.
100%. And you can see this all through the Bible. God promised us in Isaiah 61 that he's given us the keys to the kingdom of heaven to help people break free in this area. The same power that raised Jesus from the grave is in each of us, and that will, that power will indeed eject these destructive forces in a person's life. And we can help every single person who's struggling in this area. We can help. And I know this because I've lived this. This is not some theory. This is not some idea. No, this is an experience for me. And I've helped thousands of men experience it, too. So an experience trumps a theory any day of the week, right? So I know this is real. And the Bible is real. That power is so real. Let me give you an example. In the Bible, God gives us a promise. And if you do this promise, you're going to experience his power. It's found in James 5:16. It says, therefore, confess your sins where you're messing up to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Now, I want to just pick this apart for a minute. Sins apply to a man or a woman who's in sexual or relational brokenness. If you're in a relationally broken marriage and you're a woman and you're not doing something about it that's godly, I want to encourage you to do something godly to get help. If you're a man, you're wrestling with something sexual and you haven't done anything about it from a spiritual point of view, I want to encourage you to do it and do it now. It says here that if you do this, if you confess your sins to each other and pray for each other, you will be healed. That word healed is the same exact word. The original word is the word restored. And whenever God restores, he does not restore the way man does. He always restores more and better than the original condition, that which is broken. And he then goes on to restore it, making it more and better on an ongoing basis. This is why Ephesians says, you can't possibly imagine how great your life in God will be in the days to come. Then it goes on to say, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Who in the world is righteous? A righteous person is A, somebody who can keep a confidence. That's why our groups are all confidential. B, somebody who goes vertical to the Father and prays on your behalf because you have the issue in your life. And C, it says right there that the prayer is powerful. Where does that power come from? It comes from this power that raised Jesus from the grave, the Holy Spirit. And you will start to experience, if you do this, more and more of God's power through the Holy Spirit in your life, and it will be, it says right here, the last word is effective. I have challenged guys and all throughout our almost 30 years of doing ministry. If you do certain things that we teach you that follow this scripture, this promise, this set of promises, you do this for 90 to 120 days, and you're not healed or restored, or at least starting to experience it, I'll make you any kind of wager that you want, and we will see who ends up winning at the end of this. Because you see, this is God's promise, not mine or anybody else's.
Now let me ask you a question, because I can hear a bunch of guys that kind of leaned in toward the radio when they heard that.
Yeah.
You're suggesting that this begins with confession.
Well, it has to, because the process that's in the Bible is it always starts with admitting where somebody is at, okay, to yourself and to others.
Now, what if somebody says, but wait a minute, Pastor Allen, wait just a minute. My wife has no idea. What you're asking me to do is the equivalent of setting off a nuclear bomb on my kitchen table.
Yes. Well, we're not saying to admit to your wife, first of all. That was an assumption on your part, and that's an awesome assumption. And that might come down the road or not.
You said confess your sins one to another, so that's where I was starting.
To a righteous person. And so what I am saying here is confess your sins to another person that you can trust and confidence, and I'm proposing that that be somebody within our Avenue ministry. Because that's, first of all, not your wife. Second of all, nobody's going to know about it. And thirdly, you're following a biblical principle here. Now, that's a big question that comes up as to, do I tell my wife and so forth and so on. There will be times in which that question will be prayed about by the individual, and God will reveal what and how and when and so forth. That we leave that for another moment. The first step is that he's got to admit this to himself and to another man. And the second part of that, and the third part, is agree to submit himself fully to the Lord, to be Lord of his life.
And that also brings in a degree of accountability, too, does it not?
Yes.
That once you've made that statement, now there is somebody that can say, okay, you have confessed that sin. Let's be accountable.
Yes.
To one another, and the ability to help you then work through all of the involved details that will take time and exploration and ongoing confession. And there may even be dynamics to this, I would suppose, where day one, confession number one, looks very different from day 10, confession number 10. Am I right?
Yes.
As God reveals things to you?
Yes, absolutely. And I want to go, you've said so much here. This is really awesome that you're saying this. First of all, accountability is not punishment. It's encouragement. That's a big deal in the Bible. There is no punishment. Jesus took on all of our punishment. So anybody listening to this, get punishment out of your mind. It doesn't exist in God's kingdom because Jesus took it on for you on the cross. Secondly, it may be incremental. We don't force anybody to confess. This is all between them and the Lord. We want to give them a safe place to do this, where they can not only admit what's going on and commit their life or recommit it to the Lord, but then most importantly, as they submit to the Lord, commit themselves to God's plan for their life. I want to just share one other thing really quick here. It's in Romans 12. I can't believe this verse exists. I mean, from the point of view of how incredible it is. In the second verse of Romans 12, it says, don't conform to the world. And then the last sentence says, or actually part of that for that first sentence in verse 2 says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Mm-hmm. That word renewing is the same word as restoring your mind. And the way you do that is by doing the things that we have in our program and the word and exercise and so forth. Then it goes on to say, then, it's a very important word, then you will be able to know what God's perfect will is for your life. So if somebody's listening to this and they think, I think I know what God's will is for my life, but yet they're involved in something relational or sexually broken, I got news for you. You don't have a clue as to what God's plan is for your life. You might have a little bit of it, but you don't have anywhere near what he wants you to have. And it is so incredibly stellar. It is so wonderful, so magnificent, that you can't possibly imagine how awesome it is right now. And this is found in the third chapter of Ephesians, if you're wondering about it. It is that good. And he's telling us right here how to get there. Renew your mind, be transformed, be restored. Let me do this for you. That's his offer. That's Jesus' offer, the great physician. I often tell guys, imagine you walked into a hospital room and there's Jesus at an operating table and he's just invited you, not challenged you, not forcing you. He's invited you up onto that operating table. and he's offered to give you a new heart and a new mind. By the way, this is in Ezekiel 36. And he says, if you accept my invitation, I'm going to give you a new heart and a new mind so that, and then there's seven promises that follow. I'll clean you up. I will help you follow my ways. I will show you what your God-designed destiny is and help you live it. And one of the other ones is, no matter what economy you find yourselves in, I am going to take care of you economically. Now, think about that for a minute. It's God doing the operation. It's you getting up under the table. What does that mean? That means that you find something like Avenue. You work that program with all your heart. And I tell you, guys who do it with all their heart find that they are given a new heart and a new mind. Their wives fall in love with them in a whole new way. They fall in love with their wife in a whole new way. Their kids want to grow up to be just like them, marry somebody just like them. I'm telling you, their friends want to become like them. They are so godly. This is possible. And what's standing in the way is this issue of the brokenness that came into their life that they had no choice, no control over. But they, once they know they have this destructive behavior, have an obligation to go to God and say, all right, God, I give up. Help me. I surrender to you. I'll do anything you say. Just help me. And that's where we come in, and we will show them, because all of us who help other men and women, we have a men's program and the wives program for women who have been betrayed. All of us have walked in the shoes of anybody wanting to get help, so we know exactly how to help you.
I'm going to pause on that point because I've got the $64,000 question coming up right around the corner. You stay with us. A brief timeout. Back to more of our discussion. Pastor Clay Allen from Avenue with us online at avenue.works. That's avenue.works. Back with more of Lifeline in a moment.
And now back to Lifeline with Craig Roberts.
All right, we are back, and I promised to ask the $64,000 question, and I'm going to pose it right now to Pastor Clay Allen of Avenue, and that is that what you're really suggesting here then, as you look at the spiritual dynamic, the spiritual genesis of this behavior and this brokenness, and then the pathway to healing and restoration, that it isn't just simply an answer and a solution to say to a guy or a gal, it will break your habit of consumption of pornography, though it will do that. But that the benefits, it's almost the notion of you come in and the house is on fire. You're not only going to bring the fire department in to put out the fire, but then you're going to say, let's tear down that old, beaten, bruised, badly constructed house in the first place. We're going to build it back new. We're going to build it back bigger. We're going to build it back better. As you were sharing before the break, the passage of Scripture, greater beyond anything that you can think or ask, came to mind, that there is a key here then that can unlock a door that can not only revolutionize and restore your sexual dynamic of your life, the relational dynamic with your spouse, but that God will pour and heap so many other additional blessings, because this has stood as a roadblock to so much of one's life, that once that obstacle is taken out of the way, it really unleashes the power of God to completely and thoroughly not only restore, but revolutionize your life.
100%.
Wow.
And it's so even more than that. It's even more than that. And the reason is because this is a spiritual matter. The Bible teaches in Corinthians and Thessalonians that the first thing that goes out the window when somebody gets involved in wrong things sexually is the Holy Spirit, to the degree that God wants you to hear the Holy Spirit. So one of the first things that we hear guys starting to talk about is how they hear, and they come from every single denomination and walk in church, I mean, all kinds of different churches, but they start saying, I think I heard God say something to me. Mm-hmm. I said, well, let's confirm it. What was it? Let's check this out. And it's amazing, because this is one of the key elements to how a guy can become courageously, spiritually courageous, is to be able to hear, confirm, and respond to the Holy Spirit. And when they do, they're going to be blown out of their socks to the point where all kinds of things are going to start happening better.
So we're not just talking about improved intimacy with your spouse. We're talking about improved intimacy with God.
Absolutely. 100%. And I joke sometimes, but it's true. We have wives who are hanging on their guys, not wanting to leave for work because they're in love with them so much. And guys not wanting to be able to see their wives. I mean, they're yearning to see their wives. That's how much they love each other now. But yes, it's absolutely at the core, the spiritual intimacy with our Father in heaven, made all possible by Jesus. And the Holy Spirit is real. He's absolutely real, and you can hear him. He talks to you. He wants to talk to you. He wants to guide you. And guys think, well, I want you to think about this. All the gifts and talents God's given you, you ever wonder what your God-designed purpose is? You have one. Do you know what it is? Mm. Have you ever lived it? I will tell you this. When you start to live that, you will never, ever, ever go back.
Let me ask you this. In the few moments that remain in our conversation, some people are saying, why have I never heard of this before? Why am I not hearing about this at my church? Or if I want to begin this journey, and I'm ready, I want to be completely changed from the inside out and restored and healed and reconciled and revolutionize every aspect of my life, can I just go call the pastor and say I need a meeting?
Yeah, I hope that it's that, but so often there's lots of reasons. Pastors are under such tremendous pressure, and I pray for pastors because of that, but often churches are desperate for people that have been healed from this to be a force within their church. Mm-hmm. That's the easiest way I can say it.
The brokenness is throughout.
Yes.
And don't assume that because he or she occupies a position of spiritual authority,
that's right,
it necessarily means that there isn't brokenness and struggles there, too.
That's right. Because what's that stat we went over? 57% of U.S. pastors struggling in this area themselves. So you think they're going to deal with this? So that's a difficult topic, but we love it when healed people go into their church and start an Avenue group, because all of a sudden that church starts to thrive because people start to get healed and give back to their church and to the community.
We hear the old saying that hurting people hurt people, and this is a case where delivered people, restored people,
yeah,
can help to deliver and restore other people.
Yeah, healed people heal people, mm-hmm, through Christ, of course. But it's absolutely real. And I want to encourage guys to call, guys and gals to call us. Go onto our website. Our toll-free number is 877-326-7000. That's 877-326-7000. It's on the website as well, avenue.works. But I want guys to know, and guys and gals and pastors to know one thing. This is real, what I'm talking about. There is hope, because I've lived this, and I've also lived the other side. And I can tell you, the devil is sneaky, and he will keep coming back at you unless you deal a death blow to what's been opened in your life.
Does it make a difference whether you're 18 or 80?
No. No, in fact, I would even say 12 and 80 or 90.
Does it make a difference whether you're a guy or a gal?
No.
Married or divorced?
No.
Single?
No.
Across the board.
Across the board.
Somebody says, okay, I hear you. I got it. I've already scribbled down the telephone number, 877-326-7000. But there's fear and shame, and I think, if I pick up the phone and my spouse finds out, this is totally confidential.
Yeah.
As they deal with this, when they deal with this, in what manner they deal with this is going to be really guided by the Holy Spirit, isn't it?
It is. It is.
And it's not the same. While the methodology is the same, the pace of the steps are different for everybody, are they not?
They are. Everyone responds differently at their own pace. We don't force anybody to
and
do anything.
Circumstances are different, too.
Certainly. We have guys who blaze through the material. We have other guys who take their time, some guys in between. But this is how hungry you are you, and how willing are you to stay up on that operating table until Jesus is done with the operation.
I'm going to share the phone number and the website address again, but I have one other question. There may be one of those 57% that are listening right now that say, Clay, it's not just me. It's not just my wife. It's not just my family. This could have the potentiality of impacting my entire congregation. I want to know that I can have a conversation and know that I will be 100% have my sense of protection there because of what this could mean, respected and guarded.
Yes, I just spoke to several pastors recently about this, and it is 100%. And I want to tell that pastor one thing, or just share one thing. Moses in the desert had a million plus people dying of thirst, and God showed him a stick. They walked by that stick hundreds, thousands of times, and he threw it in the water, and it became sweet, and they could drink it. I want to ask a pastor a question. Everything that you need for your mission and vision to be successful and to be accomplished in your church is sitting right in front of you. You haven't recognized it. It's your congregation. And I'm telling you, the roadblock is you recognizing what it is. And the roadblock, if this is in your life, is dealing with this issue in your life. And if you do, like Moses, you're going to recognize the provision. Throw the stick, that is, into the water, and the bitter waters will turn sweet. And I'm telling you right now, Pastor, I've seen this happen so many times. It's real. It's for you. Recognize that you are the roadblock to your congregation and so much more, your entire community. And if you have the courage to make a phone call and get help, God will honor that. The greatest prayer in the entire kingdom of heaven is a desperate prayer, and he'll honor you.
Toll free 877-326-7000. That's 877-326-7000. Online at avenue.works. Avenue.works. Our thanks to Clay Allen, the founder and president of Avenue, for being with us today. Pastor, always a delight. Appreciate it.
It's a joy to be with you, Craig. Thank you.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.